It's Monday, December 22nd, 2008, and welcome to episode 68 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom. Final exams are now over at EIU, and all that is left is for faculty to grade the final exams and record the grades into the Banner system. Once the grades are posted, students will have access to them online. At EIU, we utilize technology a lot, from the everyday use of classroom technologies to online support and course offerings to administrative uses for registration and students accessing grades online. In our college, face-to-face and online components are routinely mixed to take advantage of the best of each approach for course delivery and learning. Many of our courses are hybrids that take advantage of the best of both worlds. Many K-12 schools are increasingly using online systems like Moodle to stretch the walls of the classroom and are also making learning a 24/7 operation. More work is needed in planning and implementing online systems that will increasingly need additional support staff at the K-12 level. With Web 2.0 technology, schools are in a different position than they were only a decade ago, and many free tools exist that make possible new delivery methods. All of these services rely upon the network bandwidth as the common thread that holds the key to accessing online services. School management systems are increasingly being hosted off-site by third-party vendors that provide support on a cost-per-pupil basis. This has the benefit of experts managing online systems, but has the limitation of being only as good as the bandwidth provided by the school's internet connection. If the internet is down, many Web 2.0 services and off-site school management systems become useless. Bandwidth is becoming the lifeblood of both businesses and schools as the march to cloud computing continues. Unfortunately, many schools are not keeping up with the necessary bandwidth to meet these expanding support roles for online school services. I have mentioned before on Tech Talk for Teachers that we are about to venture into the next step in the evolution of technology use in schools that I call always connected computing. This past year has witnessed the rise of the netbook as a low-cost device that is finally becoming affordable for parents of school-aged children to purchase on a broader scale. There have been many one-to-one laptop initiatives over the past 20 years, but until recently, all have been very costly and few have addressed the needed refresh in equipment every 4 to 5 years, and even fewer have expanded the program to every grade level in the school district. Lower-cost devices may help change this situation in the near future. Last week, to my knowledge, Radio Shack became the first American vendor to offer a $99 netbook. That is, if you are willing to also purchase a 2-year data subscription plan from AT&T. I have provided a link to the Radio Shack website in the show notes if you are interested in learning more about this offer. While this is a good first step, I am worried about a developing future digital divide that I am seeing increasing evidence of. I live in rural Illinois and have had a lot of experience with digital divide issues in our schools. While we have finally reached that magical $100 laptop goal that began with the dream of the One Laptop Per Child initiative, we are beginning to create a terrible model for the future in terms of wireless internet access. With the increasing success of Web 2.0 companies and cloud computing, we are beginning to get addicted to these free services, with many not realizing the true future cost of such a model. For these services to continue to flourish, it is all about the availability of reliable and low-cost bandwidth to access services reliant upon the internet. Going back to the Radio Shack $99 netbook for a moment, the true total cost comes in the form of recurring monthly subscription payments of $60 per month times 24 months, or $1,440, plus the original $99 purchase price. So the true cost of the 2-year total becomes $1,539, a little bit more than the $100 laptop dreamed of by the OLPC movement. It is going to take both a low-cost computing device and a low-cost data access plan if we are to move forward with broad access to online services for educational use. So I propose that we educators also consider a new goal of the $100 per year subscription plan for a high-speed internet wireless access family plan with no bandwidth caps for personal or educational use. Yes, I know that wireless providers need to make money to stay in business, but by simply decreasing the cost of the current monthly subscription rates to a more affordable level, I believe we would finally have a model that would allow the average family to afford the advantages of high-speed wireless access for a true anytime and anywhere learning model. Wireless carriers could make up the current revenue difference through increased subscriptions, since they would be more affordable and thus have more customers. I know this can be done. We have the technology. Let's not create yet another digital divide in the form of wireless access haves and have-nots. If the above model does not work, there is yet another alternative that could possibly provide free wireless access for Americans. What is needed now is the political will to make it happen. With all of the billions of dollars floating around in the form of government bailouts, investing in a free, anytime and anywhere learning infrastructure is a true investment in the future of America that will pay dividends for future generations, much like the TVA did for electricity. With the coming of the switch to digital TV in February of 2009, many companies have already locked in by purchasing parts of the frequency spectrum from the U.S. government. But there is another alternative. Google and others are currently working on a possible use of white space in the 700 MHz frequency range. The term white space is used to describe the unused portions of the electromagnetic spectrum that is currently going unused and is unlicensed by the FCC. There is a huge battle going on right now that few Americans are aware of, yet this battle will impact every American in the future that uses wireless internet. We now have a chance to provide a low-cost alternative to current costly data subscription plans. I have provided some links in the show notes that give some hope for future white space use for free public use if you'd like to learn more. You can help by becoming educated about this topic and raising this important issue to others when you have the opportunity to do so. Talk with your legislators, as this is an opportunity for our government to take a lead role in providing a digital infrastructure for public benefit rather than corporate interest. Please do not let bandwidth become the next digital divide issue when we now have a chance to level the playing field. If we do this right, it could change the future of education in America as we know it, but we need voices to let others know about this opportunity. Please learn more and help raise awareness to others about this promising opportunity. My technology pick of the week this week is a new beta plugin for users of PowerPoint 2007 and SlideShare users. SlideShare is an online Web 2.0 tool that allows you to upload PowerPoint-like presentations and easily share them with others. You can also embed the SlideShare-hosted presentation into blogs and other websites. In the past, you had to save your PowerPoint file and then open a browser and sign into your SlideShare account. Then you had to manually add your PowerPoint files to your SlideShare account to be converted. All of this was a disjointed and bit of a cumbersome effort. With the new SlideShare and PowerPoint 2007 integration, it is now possible to send your PowerPoint slides directly to the cloud in an integrated fashion to SlideShare. The benefit of this is that your PowerPoint files can now be easily shared with the world and can all be managed right from within Microsoft PowerPoint 2007. In addition, you get the ability for users of the content to add comments and thus take the first steps of making isolated PowerPoint creation morph into a more social approach. This plugin allows for a much more natural workflow, and you also get the added benefit of seeing presentation statistics of how many people have viewed or downloaded your shared presentations. If you are a SlideShare user, you may want to check out this new plugin for PowerPoint 2007 to make your life a little easier. That wraps it up for episode 68 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at www.eiu.edu/ITC. Just click on the Tech Talk for Teachers podcast link. If you have a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment in the Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, this is Tom Grissom. Keep on learning.